Welcome to PCMC Pop Culture Man and Children. I'm your host, Mike Fungiano. I'm joined today by my good friend and yours, Mr. Vin Forte.
No.
What is up, Vin?
We're talking about gamers.
Gamers, nerds. No, we are talking about an episode of the great TV show. I'll call it a great TV show, MTV True Life. We're talking about MTV True Life. I'm a Gamer.
Which is readily, if you want to watch it before listening to this podcast, which I suggest you do, it's for free on YouTube. Nobody's taking this thing down.
A lot of these are. A lot of the True Lives are. I kind of want to get back into them because I forgot how good this show actually was.
Yeah, there's a lot on there. You know which one's not on there, though?
What?
Is True Life, I'm a Staten Island Girl. Which is like lost media. People are like looking for this thing.
Yeah. And this led to, wasn't there a True Life like I Have a Shore House? And that kind of led to the idea of Jersey Shore?
Well, that and the Staten Island Girl one.
Oh, and the Staten Island Girl one. Okay. They're like, this is a demographic.
But that one was also taken down. That one was actually up. And like MTV took it down like a year or so ago. I wish I would have ripped it.
Yeah, True Life. MTV True Life, I'm a Gamer. This is season 4, episode 7. It aired on March 13th, 2003. So these are gamers before Steam, it's so interesting because these are like console and, you know, LAN, local area network gamers.
PC gamers. Like,
you know, I mean, there was the internet, of course, but.
It's a couple different type of gamers because there is a guy in there. Maybe the least interesting part of this episode, the guy who's like, I forget his like handle, but like he's the one going around to the PC gaming tournament.
Oh, Fatality.
Yeah, Fatality.
Fatal one.
One is nigh.
He then had his own, a couple seasons later, he had True Life, I'm a Pro Gamer. That was just about him.
Yeah.
So he had his own second episode.
But there's him, and then it just gets sadder from there, because there's a whole...
Oh, wait. Let me describe one of them. The one that I think the most comedy comes from is... Well, actually, there's two that I think are really funny.
I was going to say.
One is Craig. Oh, sorry, not Craig. Greg. Greg is an alcoholic.
Well, it's not explicitly said he's an alcoholic, but...
But he's Greg an alcoholic who also plays games in the bar, and this is...
And also... When you say his name is Greg,
yeah,
it's spelled like Craig but with a G.
Yes,
Greg, and Greg plays Golden Tee, which is the golf one where it's got the trackball and you have to like whip your palm across the trackball.
Yeah. A lot of shots.
And this guy is a fucking loser.
This guy,
and he doesn't realize it.
Yeah, yes, he's dragging his feet on his girlfriend, who's going to leave him any second. Didn't look up where any of these people are, but I should have. His girlfriend's very like, oh, we're not married yet, but whatever.
She clearly wants to be married, and he's like, but my career is a Golden Tee player.
Yeah, yeah. He's drinking every night. He's got that, you know, and I'm a fat guy, so I'm not judging, but he's got that certain kind of pudge that's like, that's drinking. That's the drinking face, you know what I mean? Like, right. You're loaded. And then the other hilarious one is, of course, the great tragic Billy Mitchell.
Yes, of Pac-Man record and faking records fame.
Yes, he's a true life Will Ferrell character come to life.
He's a true. If he's not MAGA, he should be.
Oh God, he's gotta be MAGA. Someone whose main outfit in life is long black hair, jeans. A black button-down shirt with an American flag tie. If that guy's not MAGA, I don't know what is.
And the whole episode, he's talking about, like, you know, he broke the Pac-Man record, and now he pivoted into the only logical place you would imagine, a hot wing restaurant.
Hot sauces, yeah.
So he's got hot sauce, he's got a hot wing restaurant, which is actually pretty cool, but the way he talks about it...
It's in his family. Like... He didn't put it together.
It's his family. Right, yeah. He didn't put it together. He totally trumped it. And he's talking about, like, he's delivering hot sauce to the distributors. And he's like, you know, these people are cutthroat. You know, they're trying to take every little piece of space. You got to fight for your space, too.
Yeah.
And he's like pushing the other hot sauces into the back of the aisle. And like putting his hot sauce up front and center.
Oh, he's so sad. So I think we should go through them one at a time, these four different threads.
Yeah, so let's start with...
Well, I want to say before we get into it, though, this was a time where they hadn't... Look, documentary is never reality. Even, like, the most, you know, sincere, serious documentary, there's still manipulation because it's cinema. You're still manipulating the disparate parts to create a text. And then on the other end of the spectrum would be... like super produced, like shows like The Kardashians. You know what I mean? This is somewhere in the spectrum in the middle. It's not as like produced as something like Jersey Shore would end up being. There is some reality to it, even though there's obviously some bullshit. And we'll point out which things that we think are like that's bullshit, like the kids with the fridge full of Coke cans. It's like, all right, the fucking craft service came in with that Coke 2 minutes ago.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I do think there's some verisimilitude here. Not a lot, but some. So the four threads are a group of guys that all live together and all work at FedEx in Memphis, and they go by the Order of the Light.
Yeah, they basically all chip in and own a house, or like rent a house.
Yeah.
That's like their gaming house. They just game 24/7. Some of them work at FedEx at night. Some of them work during the day.
They all work at FedEx. Constantly. They met, like, at that point, Memphis is where FedEx is from. So like they employ the whole town.
Yeah. So like, well, there is one. Well, we'll get to the one guy who doesn't work at FedEx there when we get to it.
But, oh, that guy.
But this.
Yeah.
We'll reveal his name when it comes up.
Oh, Vin, you better believe I wrote down every name. I wrote down all their stupid names. So, okay.
So there's them. Well, let's just start with the least interesting and go up. So Fatality.
Oh, let's do Fatality.
Because it's if they did a solo episode on him, which they did later on.
Yeah.
I could see where that, when you flesh it out a little more, could be interesting. But when you stack it up against the other three, this is like fairly standard. It kind of tops out at like, oh, it's kind of interesting that this kid is so good at these games that like he's making a genuine.
Right.
He's clearly got a lot of money.
Yeah.
He like rents an apartment. Like he's got a sick car. Like
he's making a lot of money. Well, that's the thing, which is he doesn't have a lot of personality. He's just dedicated to what he does. It's great when they juxtapose him and Greg, because as undisciplined Greg is, Fatality is super disciplined. Like you tell this guy has no friends. He just plays games all day to be the best and goes and wins stuff.
Not to get ahead of ourselves, but not only does Greg not have friends, but
no, Fatality doesn't have friends.
Greg has
tons and tons of fat guys that they hang out with and play the golf game.
But Greg, and maybe we need to cut this out later, but you make the call on this. Was I the only one that thought when he was talking about that older guy that got him into Golden Tee that there was like something gay going on there? Like,
I want to point out that Vin is allowed to say that as a queer man, as a queer person.
I dare people, watch me yourself and tell me I'm wrong.
No, I don't think that. First of all, I don't think this is worth cutting out. I think that you've got an interesting point.
Golden Tee, like.
What I saw more from Craig, Greg. It's Greg. I'm just calling Greg.
As Greg.
Spelled G-R-E-G, because that's the way
that's fine. Spelled.
What I got more from that was Greg being like, are you my dad? Will you be my dad? Like, I felt a lot of, he's a very lost guy. And he doesn't know that he's got some good things in his life, like his girlfriend.
Oh, should we just skip over Fatality and go right to Greg? Like, what do you need to know about Fatality?
All
right,
let's talk a little bit. Fatality.
Let's run through Fatality.
All right. Fatality is, he lives in Kansas City. He's a PC gamer, a professional gamer. This is
2003.
He's described by this TV show as the top-ranked computer gamer in the world. Okay. He makes over $100,000 a year supporting himself. Okay. Yeah.
And there is an interesting bit in his segment where, like, on his way to the tournament, like, he gets to his hotel and, like, other gamers are there and they all want to, like, test their mettle.
Being the fastest gun in the West. Like, he's like, everyone who's the best gamer in this town will come. And again, it's local area. So it's like benches with big computers that you lugged in with huge monitors because you're not doing this wirelessly.
And but like the guy in his hotel room is like, I can't believe Fatality's here.
I can't remember what game they play though. What's the game?
Oh, is it Unreal Tournament?
Yes, Unreal Tournament 2003, which I don't remember that. What is that game? I don't even remember that game.
Oh, Unreal was huge. There's a bunch of nerds. There's one, at least one nerd right now who's like yelling at you knowing Unreal.
I'm so sorry.
It became like the big, like the premier like tournament shooter.
Okay. There's a time between my parents stopped buying me video games and me having the money to buy myself video games where I missed a lot.
Yeah.
In 2003, we were right in the heart of that. He goes, I mean, it's cool. He goes to an actual like tournament in like a nice place and there's people and fans and people actually watching. And it's like, well, this is legit. It probably blew people's minds in 2003. Like now, that's not as crazy as it used to seem. But what's funny is they just oppose it with the so-called tournament that Greg's in, which is just guys in a bar playing for, like, pocket cash. That's basically it. He wins. There's no drama there. He just wins. Everybody comes up against him. And he wins handily,
too. It doesn't seem like anyone's, like, a threat.
He's just aggressively good. That's it. That's Fatality.
Tim Duncan of
Unreal
Tournament. Like, he's not flashy. Yeah. He's got 5 rings and like he should be one of the best players of all time, but nobody's buying his
jersey. No personality at all. All right. So let's talk about
Greg Bates.
Oh, Greg. He's from Chicago. His position is interesting. The first thing he says is I'm not a nerd,
right, he's like above, he plays Golden Tee.
Yeah, and he makes it like he's a jock. And the real sad, there's so many sad things about Greg, but one of the sad things is his dream is to be an actual pro golfer.
Right.
But he's good at the golf video game, which, and I can't stress this enough, is not at all
real golf.
It's not at all, none of the skills are at all the same. But in his mind, he's like, oh, I want to be, and like they show him like at like a golf range, and I don't know, I guess he's doing fine. He goes every day in the afternoon. He probably wakes up at like noon, but he goes every day and practices. But what he's really good at is the game. We're told by the TV show. We actually see him lose constantly.
Oh, I was just about to say, like,
he's the opposite of Fatality in every way.
Yeah, like the big thing with Greg is that the first thing we see of him is he goes to a bar and he does kind of like a, almost like a pool hustler kind of thing where he's like, I'm going to prepare for this tournament by, you know, having a night out at the bar. And he drags his fucking girlfriend there.
Yeah.
And she's sitting there. This is the most infuriating thing. Cause like, and I'm sure you're going to echo that. I'm sure you would agree with me on this, that if we were in Greg's shoes, God forbid.
Yeah.
And we had like an apartment with a girlfriend who like clearly is like doting on us and loving us. Would you drag her out at fucking 2 a.m. to like make you like watch you play Golden Tee? Like there's a part where he's playing Golden Tee and again he's losing,
right?
Like he, like, I guess he wins a little. It's explained that like overall he won like a little money, but nowhere near as much as he thought he was gonna make.
I wonder if the drinking and smoking as the night goes on makes him sloppier.
Maybe that's a good working theory, but it all doesn't matter because the bottom line is that his girlfriend is like, always seems like 2 seconds away from just giving up.
Well, it's because he wants the boomer dream. Whereas me as a millennial, I look at him in 2003 with an apartment and like a pretty nice life with basically no real income. And I'm like, damn, I want that. I have 2 jobs and I don't have that good, as good a life as fucking Greg does.
This may be like a completely random, but like, I had a weird hyper fixation on like a part of Greg's apartment.
Please go on.
What the fuck was up with his indoor grill?
Yes, yes, I wrote this down in my notes.
So last episode we did infomercials and we talked a little about the George Foreman grill.
This was not that.
This was like, imagine
a barbecue.
Right, like imagine a barbecue, but like the grill plates of a George Foreman grill, like standing up.
It's
in your
like
living
those
room.
Little barbecues, like you bring to a cookout or you bring to like the beach or whatever.
Yeah, the ones they call like the egg or whatever.
Right, but it's a grill, but
it's just
inside
on a stand.
His house.
Yeah, it's just like on like a stand,
and not even in his kitchen. It's like in his living
room. In the living room, and he's like cooking steaks or whatever on it, and yeah. It's like. And they breeze right by it, but I paused and was like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, what the fuck is
Explain
that?
Explain this grill. What is this? I've never seen a grill like this.
Yeah.
That's like indoors. Like, okay, indoors, fine.
It's not a thing. I think it's just either MTV told him to do it, or
he's
a
the kind
really
of guy who
stupid
would have
person. Because it's very dangerous. Yeah, I was also like, what the fuck?
And that's also the scene where his girlfriend is like, yeah, you know, I was going to mention that there's a lot going on in this one scene.
Yeah.
So we learn in the scene that she clearly wants to get married.
Yeah.
And he's like holding off because he wants to fucking win more tournaments or some shit.
Yeah.
But the bigger reveal is how they met, that like he called up the Golden Tee like hotline.
Yeah.
And like she was working at Golden Tee.
Yeah.
And that like they connected.
Yeah.
And he, but like she doesn't care for gold. She was just like,
no,
she,
it's just
job.
Her job.
But like they met through the Golden Tee,
right.
Like helpline, yeah. And then became a couple.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I wanted them to get more into that. Like how the, what the.
Yeah. He, one of the first things you see him do is he goes to a bar and he, so there are so-called, so-called tournaments. But then there's also hustling, which is like he's kind of like hustling, just making like little bets with people. But
yeah.
Even that, we don't see him do so well. And then he's like, okay, I'm going from one bar to the next bar.
I know. He truly is the Minnesota Fats of Golden Tee.
Yes, yes. Except Minnesota Fats, like, we'd win. And he goes to like a so-called tournament at the end. And his girlfriend's with him. And she's just bored out of her mind. At one point, it's 2 a.m. And she's just like sleeping on the fucking like bar stool.
They're literally like vacuuming the floor.
Yeah, and they're like, get out. Because he had what he put it, he came with $20, right? That was his ante. And then I think he was up for a little while and then back down. And now he didn't want to leave without making back his like initial $40 or some sad shit. What is he? I think it might have worked. Oh yeah. Okay, so he goes to the bar. There's an impromptu tournament to win $200. He loses and spends the rest of the night trying to win back the 20 he lost. He walks away with $40 after paying the bar tab.
Yeah.
So that whole night of his life, and more importantly, her life, was to win $40. It's basically, you know what it's basically like? He has found a way to be a drinker and go out every night without paying for it. Like, that's as much as he wins. He wins enough to, like, get the bar tab.
Right. Like, he gets to save his money and live another day to go out and drink.
Yeah. And he, and I look, I'm no athlete. I'm not even a good video game player. But he chokes pretty easy. Like, he'll choke and then psych himself out and that's it. Like, he could never be a real golfer. He does not have the mentality of a real sportsman. No. Like,
and he gets you could tell in the tone of his voice, he gets like very shaken and
yeah,
like
fuck, this fuck, 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 god damn
like
it, fuck. Like angry.
Like, yeah, like someone will, I forget the other guy's name, but it's like he has like a really good shot that beats his. He's like, great job, Drew. Oh, what a shot. And he's just like, you tell in the voice, he's like seething that he's about to lose.
Yeah.
Like Golden Tee.
Which, yeah, to me, I've never played Golden Tee, but it seems like the most boring game I've ever heard in my life. I can't imagine. First of all, it seems like the whole point of the game is the initial swing, right?
Right.
Like, that's the fun of it. And then whatever else, like, I guess it's a real, like, 18 holes or whatever. I'm not sure. But he plays it all night, drinking and smoking, which is other guys doing the same thing.
But then so he does the hustler thing. Then it gets to the other half of his story where he actually goes to this tournament.
Yeah.
And that really exposes him because he's got like two chances to win.
Yeah.
Because there's the tournament where you get to like the top round.
Double, what's it called? Double elimination?
Double elimination.
Yeah.
So that basically means like if you get to a certain point and then get eliminated, you have one last shot to like get back in.
Yeah. And he loses to like his mentor who taught him the game.
Yeah.
It's just a bummer. It's such a bummer. But what's really funny is it ends with like like single camera him, and he's like, yeah, this was a wake up call. I really think I need to change my life. Which is so funny because, I mean, really, he just lost a video game. But you could see what happened was the whole personality he was building for himself, that's what failed. Like, right. He was probably, like, he was good at this game, and he won a few, like, tournaments, won a couple $1,000s. He was like, oh, I'm one of the best at this stupid game. And then MTV came calling. They were like, oh, cool, they're going to follow me around. This is cool. I'm going to, like, get to go around. And then he has a pretty bad couple nights with the fucking crew there. So yeah. Not only is he losing, he doesn't have the opportunity that he wanted to build this persona. Like, he's losing in front of the only cameras that have ever been pointed at him. And that's right. That's when at the end he's like, am I even this guy? Like, what am I? It's just so funny to see, like, it was a wake-up call. And I'm putting a lot of emphasis on the drinking. They don't put any emphasis on it in the show. But if you're reading between the lines, it's, you know, like, these other guys, it seems like it's about the games. For him, it's like he's going into bars and there's a fucking game there.
Well, again, like, he treats it as like he's a pool hustler. Like,
yeah.
Like, when he's walking in and walking out, doesn't he have, like, he brings, like, a big sign in with him.
Oh, he's also super cocky. He's like, see this $20? I'm about to turn it into 7 of those. And I'm like,
but I was thinking, like, is that sign? Is that like him? Does he bring the sign for him to be like, hey, come play?
I guess.
Is that like a sign, like a prove me wrong sign? Like,
I guess. Yeah, I guess you got to hustle somehow.
Is that like, does he think he's Bernard Purdy all of a sudden? Have you ever heard the Bernard Purdy story?
No.
Bernard Purdy is a famous session drummer from the 60s and 70s. And when people would hire him for a session, he would have these two signs, like, on either side of his drum kit.
Yeah.
And on one side, it would say, you done it. And on the other side, it would say, you done hired the hitmaker, Bernard Pretty Purdy.
Uh-huh.
It's like, that's the level of confidence you need. And that's the kind of confidence I think Greg thinks he has.
Oh, yeah. At one point, he's like, if you asked me if I could beat Tiger Woods, I'd say yes, because you got to have that kind of confidence.
Yeah.
It's like, but you know you're not really, like, great at golf, though, right?
Right, you're not the hitmaker.
That's a funny thing, is, like, you might as well be good at baseball. Like, the connection you're making in your mind isn't there. Because the golf video game is not, it's not at all the same as golf.
Right, he would be better off comparing himself to Fatality. That would be a closer.
Yes, yeah.
Comparison than him jumping right to, I could beat Tiger Woods right now, like.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's see. I want to do let's do Billy last, because he's the best.
Yeah. Let's do the order of no quarter or whatever the fuck.
The order of light. I got to say, I would love these guys. I like these guys. I would have fun with these guys. And, you know, it says something about the time, because I think, like, they would be depicted in much meaner way later on. They're kind of presented here as sort of like, hopeless but charming. Like,
You know who the one guy's presented at? The main guy who dresses like Fry from Futurama?
Yes.
he is right out of a fucking Kevin Smith movie.
Yes. Yes.
Like, he walked right off the screen.
Even, like, he says, like, I'm at the at FedEx, I'm in the entry position. They say it's a 6-month position. I've been there for 3.5 years.
Yeah. But just, like, the way he speaks, like, the sarcastic, pop culture-y, like, he...
Yeah, I know. No,
like, I really can't stress this enough. Like, he really, like, it's like Kevin Smith is writing his dialogue.
Right, right. No, yeah, yeah. But I know there's something charming about these guys. So they're a group of kids that live together in Memphis. I don't know if they... Do they really all live there? They can't all live there, right?
I mean, they're seen coming in...
I guess.
I
you know what? Let me say one good thing about them. At least this group is every creed and color.
I was just about to say, like, it's a real melting pot.
Yeah. Like, one guy is, like, super buff and, like, works out. and then there's like a quiet, like, it's like, wow, you guys are all like friends and you don't seem at all alike.
Yeah, all races and like the big buff dude is like the, you're like this big buff black dude.
Yeah.
And then there's like these, you know, skinny white dude, there's an Asian dude who, to be fair, has a bad name. He's just called Da Asian.
Da Asian. Not great. All right, could I go through all of the characters and their names?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay. So there's Tim Suicide Bomb. So Suicide Bomb is the person Vin was just talking about. He's like the main person who's like narrating for us. And he's called Suicide Bomb because he'll often kill his own teammates, which actually doesn't, is not a good nickname. Friendly Fire would be a better nickname. Like Suicide, that's not what a Suicide Bomb is, but whatever. That's why they call him Suicide Bomb. Then there's Kerry Longshot. Longshot is kind of, he's described as kind of the leader, even though it seems does like Tim is the leader. There's Jimmy, problematic name, Da Asian, because he's Asian.
And he's the only one that seems like does not work at the FedEx.
He works at Benihana.
I know, this just keeps getting...
Which, by the way, I love Benihana, but it's just...
The Asian who works at Benihana just,
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, a fake Asian place. There's Hatred. His real name is John. They call him Hatred because he's just very competitive and he talks trash a lot.
Yeah.
There's Stuart Raiju Sakata.
He's the weeb.
He's the shy one. There's Kyle, whose nickname is Kid GT. They don't say much about him. There's D, and D's real name is Dedrick, and he's the jacked guy.
Yeah.
Then they've got a girl who hangs out with them named Leslie, but they call her Piglet. And she doesn't seem to live there, but she's their friend.
Again, right out of a Kevin Smith movie. She's like their one meek female.
It's friend. Also like right out of a fucking Big Bang.
Yeah, like she's their Penny.
Yeah, she's their Penny, Piglet. All right, so this being what we've told you before, you're probably imagining, okay, they live together. They probably have like an amazing setup, like a room with like a gigantic TV or like a projected wall and like everything into it. No, imagine like there's just a many little TVs everywhere. There's like TVs next to TVs, on top of TVs. There's TVs in the kitchen. They have every console, but they're all like playing everything every way. This is what I was wondering, like, did MTV put some of this together and say, okay, all you guys play different shit or whatever? Because it just like, it just seemed chaotic. Like, I don't know. Is it because it's the early 2003? Like, that rang to me as really weird.
No, it is really weird. Like, you're not wrong. It's like, I guess today it would be more cleaned up, I would have to imagine. Because I guess you wouldn't have so many TVs. You would have, like, they would all have laptops or, like...
Yeah, right. And these were back when TVs were TVs. They were big.
But yeah, there's, like, a big TV in the living room. They're, like, yeah, there's a lot going on in this house. And they show the kitchen. Nobody cleans anything. They show, like, 5 seconds of Carrie, like... putting some cords away and like shrinking up the living room, but that's about it. Like nobody cleans the kitchen.
There's a great shot that God bless this cameraman for doing this pickup. It's just a close up of
the episode 2 DVD.
The DVD of Star Wars episode 2 Attack of the Clones. Just to be like, if you guys didn't know, these are fucking nerds.
Yeah, in case you didn't know.
They like the worst Star Wars movie. But that would have been hot shit in 2003, right?
Oh, yeah, DVD.
Like. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's funny.
So they, like, swap in. They all work at different times. They all work different shifts.
Yeah.
They're all just, like, coming and going. They're all...
But they have a community. That's the thing. Like, they're living the stereotype of, like, shut-in, yet they're all together. So it doesn't seem that bad. They seem like guys that are just know what they enjoy and are just doing it.
Yeah.
And none of them are like pro in any way. They're just like, I mean, maybe like if this were 2023 instead of 2003, like they would all be like streamers trying to make money that way. But these guys are just for the love of the game. They're just playing games.
I mean, the Asian plays like he takes a break from Benihana. He goes on his lunch break or whatever. And he's playing video games, and then, like,
fucking, he has
like,
an hour. Hours. Yeah.
Yeah, like, hours go by, and then he's like, oh, shit, I gotta go. And then he just, like, casually gets up and leaves.
This is what this guy did. This guy said, look, how many times am I going to have MTV in my house filming?
Right.
Do I maybe fuck up my job and get as much screen time as I can, and maybe they'll turn it into a little story? That's got to be it, right?
Yeah.
But I got to say, as someone who was that age, have you ever, like, had an hour for lunch and you just, you, like, tried to do some outlandish shit that definitely took more than an hour?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, this does happen to young people. First of all, if you're leaving in a car and going to your house on your lunch break, you're already asking for trouble. You're already setting yourself up for fucking, you're gonna fuck up.
Yeah.
And he's in his little Benihana outfit. Yeah. Yeah, and what were the systems back then? What are they playing?
PS2, Xbox, GameCube.
Yeah, yeah. I don't see, there's no handheld gaming in this. You don't see any really, right? No. But those guys are, they're just sweet. I don't know, those are just fun guys. Now let's go to fucking Billy fucking Mitchell. Billy Mitchell's famous, for lack of a better word. You might have seen him in the documentary King of Kong. He's also in a documentary about Pac-Man too, right?
Yeah.
He was one of the original OG, like, gamers, like best gamers in the world. Like, and back when, like, games were arcade games and they were hard. And he was really, really good at Pac-Man. And he played perfect games where you kill every ghost, you eat every pellet, you eat every prize. There was a famous, where was Twin Galaxies? California?
I think so.
I think it still exists, a famous arcade called Twin Galaxies, which, like, would rank people. They had, like, a leaderboard and they'd rank people the whole country. So, like, they were kind of like an official thing. And he was on top. He was number one for, I think, the fastest of, like, beating Pac-Man. And then time went on and people dethroned him. And then they were like, you know, if you don't have to come to Twin Galaxies to do it. You can record yourself doing it at home, or you could send us a recording of the screen. So he kept, like, winning back his title. But then there was a scandal where they realized that he was using video game emulators and not the actual original video game. What do they call it?
Hardware.
But no, what's the name of the, like, the actual, like, box, the arcade?
Oh, the cabinet.
Cabinet. That's what I'm looking for. And emulators are not the same, and they could also be slightly, you know, like, look. The original Pac-Man is famous for having, like, really tough, stiff controls. An emulator would not have that, right? Yeah. So he lost his throne. And Twin Galaxies even turned against him, and he became, like, a pariah. But he was also not famous to begin with. But the thing that makes him so funny is he, like I said, he's like a Will Ferrell character. He thinks he's the coolest fucking guy that ever lived. He's this tall guy with, like, long hair and, like, just long white guy hair that's not cool. He wears jeans and a button-down shirt and a tie. He acts like, he talks about there were groupies. He talks about himself like he's the greatest person ever lived. And it's like, you were really good at Pac-Man. And I actually, Vin, for your benefit and the benefit of our listeners, wrote down a bunch of his quotes, because he kind of speaks in quotes. And I've got some of these for you if you want.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, quote, "You don't become a world champion. It's in your DNA."
Mm.
Here's another quote from him. "Whenever we went somewhere, it was equivalent to a rock band showing up."
Yes.
"People say, hey, Pac-Man. I say, hey, that's Mr. Pac-Man to you." This is another great quote. "I always wanted to do something that was unparalleled, something unequivocal. I was asked by a reporter, have you done it? Not yet." And then my last quote here. "I became obsessed with the idea that I would know more about chicken wings, about hot sauce, than anybody in the world."
And you know what the sad thing is? I bet his hot sauce is really fucking good.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, like, this is like someone living in a version of himself that he built so long ago, he can't imagine something different. And now he runs, like, successful chicken restaurants, but he's trying to be like, oh, I attack chicken wings the same way I attack video games.
Yeah.
But what's really funny is, like, he's the kind of guy who, like, his knowledge stopped in 1980. Like,
right.
Billy Mitchell has never played, like, Kirby. He's probably never, like, played any, like, Silent Hill or fucking Doom. Like, he was an OG arcade guy. That's it. End of story. And he, you know, he talks about groupies. I guess he got laid a lot back then. And he's just not that guy. He actually is, like, this is a perfect character to be, like, played by, what's his name from Eastbound and Down?
Oh, Danny McBride.
Danny McBride. This is, like, a perfect Danny McBride character. Just, like, this could be a separate show. Like, a guy was once, like, the greatest video game player in the world, but then 30 years passed by, and now he just works in his family's chicken restaurant, but he still carries himself like he's the greatest.
Well, and he does this long tease throughout his whole segment.
Yeah.
It's like, I've got something that's going to pale. It's going to make the Pac-Man. Like,
right.
God. And he keeps, like, hyping this up in this, like, hushed Billy Mitchell tone. And at the end of the episode, it's like, he's just going to go for, like, the Missile Command record or some shit? Like,
yeah, yeah.
It's like, Billy, who cares?
It's,
like,
not really said. Maybe it was Donkey Kong. Maybe Donkey Kong was what it was?
I thought it was Missile Command.
Well, you see him playing Missile Command. But
and I assume that you see him playing it because that's when he's talking about, like, going for that record.
I don't know. His AI is to be trusted, and it always is. No, he obviously, whatever he's going for was a different record, because he wants to be that guy still. Yeah, I can't get enough of this guy. He's also very big in, is it the King of Kong, where he's basically the villain? He's, like, the bad guy in it, right? Because, like, the guy who, like, has, like, the real record is, like, a sweet family man. He's, like, a nice real guy. And then Billy Mitchell is, like, trying to, like, is he's like the Shooter McGavin to this guy.
Yeah, that's exactly who he is.
Or exactly Happy Gilmore. He's absolutely. I gotta say, I think this is really well put together to take, and this is all in, you know, what, 40 something minutes, so it would be 1 hour of TV. You have four threads, two of them have actual, like, three act structures. I thought it's really good. This show was really good.
Yeah, maybe we need to do another True Life.
Yeah, well, what are some of the other ones you remember?
I remember the True Life, I'm a Wrestler.
Can we go through
True Life, I'm Getting Married, which is the famous one that has the guy from Staten Island. Like, the limo, was, like, on the expressway. It was, like, going to be late. And he calls the guy up, and the guy's like, well, 2 minutes late. I'll cut you like a fish.
Yeah.
That's that.
Oh. Can I ask you, when do you think the last True Life episode came out?
I wouldn't be shocked if it's still technically going on.
2020, they did a one-shot called True Life First Time Responders during COVID.
Okay.
But it actually, I guess it truly ran until 2015, which is still pretty damn late.
Yeah.
There's like 400 episodes, which is insane. But just some of these names... True Life, I'm Moving to Vegas.
Some of them are truly insane. Like, True Life, I'm Addicted to Crack.
True Life, I'm a Hacker.
Yeah, True Life.
True Life, I Need Sex Medicine.
I think there was one where it was like, True Life, My Dad's a Stormtrooper.
True Life, I Want to Be a Millionaire. What? Let's see. True Life, I'm on Ecstasy.
Oh, yeah, that was a big one. Yeah.
Really? I don't remember that one at all. I'm a Cheerleader.
Get me out of here.
Yeah. I'm a beauty queen. I'm coping with terrorism. Okay, wow. I'm bipolar.
True life, I'm a bitch. I'm a mother.
Yeah.
Mother.
True Life, Sex 2K. This is 2003. So it was even late at that point. True Life, I Have a Phobia. True Life, I Was Famous for 15 Minutes. These are True Life, I Have an Eating Disorder. Some of this is like, this was a good show. I've been thinking this whole... I don't know what I thought about this show before, I guess. But now I'm realizing, like, it was really good.
Yeah, it's just that some topics are, like, way more serious than others.
Yeah, and they'll be right next to each other. Like, yeah,
exactly. It'll be, like,
True Life, I Love Cereal, next to, like, True Life, I'm Addicted to Crack.
Yeah, exactly.
True Life, I Self-Injure. Yikes. Next to True Life, I'm the New Kid in Town. True Life, I'm Homeless. Wow. That was from 2009. I gotta watch as many of these for free as I can. I have a narrative in my head that I'm beginning to think I've made up entirely. I thought that there was a True Life episode about a Sweet 16, and then that spun off
Oh,
into my
that's
Super Sweet 16. But
yeah.
I'm not seeing a Sweet 16 episode. So I think I just made that up in my head.
I mean, that may be another show to look at.
True Life, I'm addicted to tanning. True Life, I'm joining a commune. Yeah, this show's fucking cool. This show's good.
Was True Life, I'm Joining a Commune, the one that was about the Gonis cult on Staten Island?
Oh no, let me see. That was a later one too. For some reason, IMDb goes from season 16 to 19 with two seasons just not on here at all.
Yeah, it's very weird.
I'm joining a commune is from 2016.
I don't think so. I think the dates are wrong, because I know what you're talking about. I think the dates are wrong.
This could all be wrong. A 23-year-old, oh sorry, 23-year-old Tuck wants to put her ideals to the test by starting her very own urban commune in New York City. 26-year-old Emmett wants to improve his focus and find meaning in his life by joining an established commune. Does that sound
I
familiar?
think that might be the one. I think the one that the person that joins the established commune joins the Gonis cult.
What is this from 2013? True Life, My Dad is a Bro?
I'm very interested in what
There's no
that
information on it. There's no information on this. My dad is a bro. What on? Could that mean like, I remember we used to say bros were like guys who were like, bah, like,
Yeah, like a
it's sick,
big
bro.
cuisine, like
Yeah,
yeah.
like that kind of guy. Is that what it means? My dad's that
Maybe.
guy? My dad wears a big, like, devil horn, gold devil horn over like a
My
white.
dad is big time Tommy.
Yeah.
My dad is Chris the Hobby Guy.
Can I make a recommendation to you?
Yes.
I'm actually reading, I'm about to finish it, a really good book that I would suggest to anybody that wants a good book, but anyone who's into video games. It's called Good Game, No Rematch, A
Oh,
Life
the
Made of
Jason
Video Games.
Shriver book?
No, it's Mike Drucker.
Oh, Mike Drucker.
Good Game, No Rematch, A Life Made of Video Games. And it's just funny memoir kind of book, but it's all related to video games, like when he was a kid in video games, and then he worked for Nintendo for a little while. It's just super easy read. I've been reading it at night. It just came out. It came out April 1st, 2025, so it's fairly new. Mike Drucker. It's good. It's a fun read.
Yeah, in terms of video game books, I read Masters of Doom, which is very
Ooh,
interesting.
what was
It's
that about?
about John Carmack and John Romero, who made Wolfenstein 3D, Doom, Quake, and just like it's a good like time capsule of like the early to mid 90s and where video games were and like Silicon Valley and just like these two personalities who could not be more different. Like just butting head, like John Carmack is like
Interesting.
head down, like big computer guy. Like we need to get the work done. Come on, guys. Like and John Romero is like total rock star, long hair, like probably owns a lot of guitars.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Are you playing any games right now?
I'm not. I'm waiting till the end of the because I want to get that Switch too.
Yeah.
Because when the Switch 2 came out, I was like, I want to wait because I want to see if this thing's going to be a big success or if it's going to be like the Wii U. And almost instantly, we got our answer because apparently it's been selling like fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And I want that Donkey Kong game. And
Yeah, I heard that was good.
did you see what they just said they're going to do today?
No.
So they did a
Breaking.
Nintendo
This is
Direct.
breaking news.
They did a Nintendo Direct. And they also announced the new Mario movie, which is going to be based on Mario Galaxy.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting show.
And they're also re-releasing Galaxy 1 and 2 on Switch 2.
Okay, I haven't played two ever.
But it's very good. But they're adding to their like online section where you could play all the old games.
Yeah.
They're adding all the Nintendo Virtual Boy games.
Oh,
But
shit.
on top of that, you should look this up. They are making a peripheral that is like it looks exactly like the original Virtual Boy with the stand and everything. And you can like slip your Switch 2 into it and just and like look through the visor and
Oh
like
shit.
play it like a Virtual Boy.
Way to embrace one of your greatest follies.
Yeah, I mean there were a couple like really good like that Wario Land game on Virtual Boy is like excellent.
Wasn't it all red?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was the thing. A lot of that Nintendo was always like, taking big swings. And sometimes they would hit home runs and sometimes they wouldn't, but it was always interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see, I'm not playing anything right now. The last game I played a few months ago was Epic Mickey Rebrushed, which was a Epic Mickey
From the
redone.
Wii.
Yeah. Because it was originally, yeah, it was originally a Wii game, right? And it was, it used Wii controllers, but so they reconfigured it and made it for Switch, and I played the fuck out of that for a little while. That was a really fun game. I'm kind of in a place where it's like I've been wanting a PS5 for a long time, and I keep telling myself like, oh, I'm gonna wait till it's cheaper, and it's somewhat cheaper, but
It's
it's
not
never
going to get
cheap
any cheaper.
enough. It's
And with
not
the
cheap enough.
tariffs, it's not getting any
I
cheaper.
know, yeah. Well, yeah, we're all fucked. As for Switch 2, I feel like I'm going to buy it when they do the Mario game.
Yeah, because they've got to have them on the
They've
internet.
got to. It's crazy that they haven't yet. That's what's crazy.
I'm probably going to wait until I may wait till deep into next year. Unless I'm gonna take a peek back at it around Christmas because I want to see if they do like a big bundle.
Yeah. The problem is, even the Wii 2, I'm sorry, not Wii 2, sorry, even the Switch 2, I'm not priced out of it. I'm a grown man, but there's also like, you get to an age where there's a certain amount where you're like, I can't justify spending that much money. You know what I mean? Like, where you're like, I can do it, but then I feel like a dipshit.
Well, you have to also balance it against like, am I going to play this thing all the time or do I really just want it for this one game I want right now? Because if I'm going to play it a lot, then okay, it's probably worth it. But like right now, I really just want it for the Donkey Kong game that's out
Right.
and
Well,
then
that's the thing.
maybe the new Mario Kart.
Yeah. That's another reason why I wait, though. Like, I got the PS4 very late, and then I just went on a tear
Right,
playing
because you have
every
all the
game I
games
had
available
wanted.
to you.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, maybe that's what I'll do with this new generation. But yeah, I came really close to buying the PS5 when the last Doom game came out, Doom Dark Ages. Because I love Doom and I like the last two Dooms. But then some people love the new game, but it's also like they took out what I think is my favorite part of Doom, which is like the fast platforming of it. It's more slow and methodical, but I still, God, there's so much fucking money. Yeah. But Vin, this has been a wonderful episode. True life. I'm a gamer. Vin Forte, he's a gamer over there. Vin, do you have anything you want to plug for the people?
Not right now.
Okay. Don't you do a Substack?
Oh yeah, go to vinforte.substack.com. Go subscribe.
Yeah. All right. Vin, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
We end every episode by saying,
Go bye-bye.